got y'all Wednesday evening, 1:3:24. We're going to look at the cares of this life. Turn to Mark 4. It's coming out of every quarter. The devil trying to get us to take care. Sometimes I think, is there nothing that you can't mess up and do something against? Like, well now, you know, if you ride your bicycle down the street, you could get radiation burn from the sea. Just something stupid. That's how ridiculous it's gotten. It's like it's 24/7 blaring in your face, if you allow it to, the cares of this life. Yeah. All right, it's all part of Satan's agenda. Okay, we're going to read the parable of the sower here. We're going to start with verse 1. He began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, set in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they were about him with the twelve asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable, and how then will we know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entered in, choke the word, and becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. That word choke here means to strangle completely, to drown, or to crowd. So you're believing God for something, and what happens? The cares of this world crowd into your mind to where you lose sight of what God's word that you're standing on says, and you having a hard time keeping your focus. How does it choke out the word? Cares. It means affirmation or concession. In other words, what's coming against you will override what you know to be true, the scripture is standing on. I was thinking about, I didn't put it in this teaching, but he sent his word and healed us. It's okay to pray in the Spirit a lot, but you need to be in the Word a lot. You need to have it in front of your face all the time. Eat, sleep, Word. Here comes the care bear snare. See, the more you've got the Word in your face, the less you're going to let go of the Word when circumstances come that are unfavorable. And they will. I wish they didn't. I'll be glad the day that we live in a carefree world. Okay. All right. This parable right here is primarily about the harvest for souls, but it's also for a harvest, health, finances, whatever. Okay? All right, when the word of God is choked out, the person goes from resting in peace to reacting. Self-preservation takes over. So the enemy comes with a fear tactic. He comes with a word. He comes to steal the word of God and give you a false report to get you to believe the lie. Whatever that may be. Can be all kinds of things. What did Jesus tell us to do? All right, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. The objective is to get you to react and stop acting. See, faith acts on the word of God. But reacting is fear. Comes out of fear, care and fear. I probably taught on the subject of fear more than any subject I've ever taught on just since we've been doing this. All right, 6:5. It's always good to have a refresher. All right, chapter 6, verse 5 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And then he said, after this manner pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." So he's saying right here, when you need something, you go to your Father in secret, and you pray. And if you don't know what to pray, then pray this, Jesus said. This is the Lord's Prayer. He's here to deliver us from evil, period. Evil has no part unless we give him a part, all right? All right, let's keep going here. Isaiah 40. Keep that. He sent his word and healed me. Whatever you need healing in, there's all kinds of areas that we need healed in. I'm sure y'all know this one by heart, but, you know, like I said, there's times I have to remind myself. I have to go and say, Lord, I don't care. This is what your word says. 40:31. Let's start with 28. 40:28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. In other words, he knows everything that's going on with you. Everything. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. When you wait on the Lord and you get an answer from Him, you will never have to ever doubt. You will never have to lose your peace over that, because God's will is a sure thing. And when you get it from Him, it's a no-fail. Nobody could beat it out of you. You're stable, rock solid. But you have to wait. You have to wait for it. I remember talking to a friend about being healed. And I was myself. I had looked for, there was a particular situation I was dealing with when I was about 28. And No, I was not. No, that's. Hold on. I was in my 40s. I was in my 50s. Anyway, I remember I tried all these natural things to try to get well. Nothing was working. Finally, one day I told Danny, I'm coming in here and I'm getting before the Lord and I ain't coming out till I'm healed, till I have the manifestation of healing. Not doing it. So anyway, I got in there and I'd pray in the spirit and I'd read Brother Hagin's health food. And I did that for about 4 hours until the peace of God come up inside of me. And I knew, he said, now you're going to have to put that other stuff down. I said, okay, and I did. And I walked on. Another time, back when I was in my 20s, that's when we got turned on to the Word of Faith. I'd been diagnosed with something, taking this. Then it was like $80 for this prescription. Now it'd probably be $500 for that prescription. And it made me shake, and it was just awful. I hated it. Well, I fell so in love with the Word. I spent hours and hours in the Word. And one day I realized, it's gone. He sent His Word and healed me and delivered me. And I didn't even know when He did it. I just know I didn't need it anymore. All right. But the friend that I talked about, I told him what I did. She said, you know, that's what we ought to be doing, but most of us, we just don't have the patience to take the time to do it. Go before the Lord and say, it's like Jacob and the angel. I ain't leaving till you concede to me. That's what the Lord said last week. I'm not leaving. So that angel was trying to take his ground. Here was Esau coming, trying to take what belonged to Jacob. And he said, no, you're not doing it. And I'm not letting go of you until you get in agreement with that. So sometimes we just have to be in God's face until we see it His way, right? That's what it is. That day I had peace come up in me and I knew, bam, that's it. I got it. Danny come out and said, well, I think he asked me, well, did you get an answer? And I said, I'm healed. I mean, a ball bat couldn't beat it out of me. They that wait upon the Lord, says, shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Everybody wants a quick fix. Well, quick fixes are okay, but there's a thing about a quick fix. They usually don't fix it. It might be a temporarily little thing that keeps things okay for a while, and then you're going to have to probably face it again and do it again. Eventually, we have to all come back to the Lord. All right, let's go back to Mark. We'll look at Mark chapter. It's still chapter 4, but we're going to look at verse 15 a minute. This is Satan's goal. God has already said. He's already said it's done. He's already taken everything on His back. All the provision that we'll ever need. Everything was won at the cross. But we have to go and we have to make an enforcement on that. The Lord, it says here, and I'm telling you, every one of us that have a, insurance manual, if you go to a doctor and they tell you you're out covered and you're going, you'd be in their face saying, see there? Right there. That's why we have to be with God. Your word says, Lord, your word, and I'm not leaving till I have it. That's why we have to be. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force, because you've got an enemy out there doing everything he can to steal, kill, destroy. Nothing new. All right. 4:15. Let me find it. Lost my place. And these are they by the wayside where this word is sown. They're believing. They're standing. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. When they heard, what did they hear?
You're not healed.
You're not this, whatever. You're not going to get your answer. All right, let's keep going here. All right, according to the parable of the sower, only one in four get an answer. Get a full harvest, one in four. That is sort of what my friend said. Most won't take the time to stay there until they get an answer. Most, if they get prayed for by someone, well, they'll blame it on the person that prayed for them. But they'll say, well, I didn't get anything. I best go on and see the professional. They think that God is holding out on them, and He is not. He has a perfect, awesome plan for every situation that we may face. Perfect. Unshakable, unfailable. Reaction is simply doing what we think is best, right? Because things get hot. Things get hard. All right, desperate people do desperate things. Walking by faith is not just a cliche, it's a hard stand. It is. You have to be so fed up that you say, I'm getting in your face, and I ain't leaving your face until I get an answer. And if you think He doesn't know what's going on, think again. He does. In fact, He allows it to come your way to see how you'll react or act. Act or react. It's totally up to you. When you act, it's lasting. When you react, it's temporary. All right. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, just a few verses. We all know about Daniel. Three Hebrew children. All right, 3:14. Starting with verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. There's their statement of faith. But if not, in other words, it doesn't make any difference. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. See, they went in the fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. In other words, I'm going down. Glub, glub, one finger, two fingers. Didn't happen. Their faith saw them through. Right there. Your faith will see you through. All right, go to chapter 6. Verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest, continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions, and the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. They didn't even hit the floor before they were devoured by the lions. God did that. When you're having to make a hard stand, then you must stay strong in the Word of God. It is the Word that was choked out that caused the sower to lose his harvest. Praying in the Spirit is good and it helps, but staying strong in the Word is essential also. See, they go hand in hand. Yeah, they're the dynamic duo, I think. This passage is not just for finding out what your purpose is for ministry, but it's for everything you will ever face. This is Romans chapter 12. We've read it so many times, but we're going to read it again. It's not just for finding out God's overall purpose and will for you, the reason you're being born. It's also for everything that you need in life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. That's the devil's world, his system, his way of terrorizing the people that live in it. But be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. How do you do that? God's word. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You got the faith to endure and to persevere in the situation, whatever it may be. All right, let's keep going here. They did a practice in the Old Testament. And I remember years ago, Jackie, you probably remember it too. I know Danny does. Remember the house that they had written scriptures all over? It was on the corner of, you know, older house. And they'd written all over it, all these scriptures. This is Deuteronomy 6. Starting with verse 4. it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." It does not hurt to have reminders wherever you go. I used to make it a practice. I know when I was believing for a son, I put the notes different places, and I proclaimed what I wanted. We'd been to church, little Pentecostal Holiness Church, and he was talking about Youngie Cho. He wanted a bicycle, a desk chair, and something else. And he told everybody that he was pregnant with these things, you know. I did the same thing. Put it on the refrigerator, and every time I went in there, I'd put my hand on it and speak it. That's what you do. It's a constant reminder. You got to be strong. Jesus' corresponding action to the devil's attack was this, Matthew 4:4. See, the devil has a way of making the needs that you have become bigger than God's word to you. Right here. "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone." What is that? The necessities of life. Bread is like a staple. "But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Y'all see that? That's how the devil tempted him. And he was starving. And, you know, he could have been thinking, "I'm not going to make it. I'm fixing to die. I'm so hungry. I'm going to die." He didn't die. The devil didn't win either. And in your situation, the devil don't win. Don't back down. Don't ever. Stand your ground. That's what it says in Ephesians 6. Let's go there. Ephesians 6. You see the little cat, you know, is hanging on to the rope. He says, when you're hanging on a rope, you just tie another knot in and hang on. Right here. Verse 12. Well, no. All right, 14. Well, let's just read 13. "Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able..." Well, you know what the armor is? It's the word. "Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, take unto you the word, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." There's the armor right over there. Shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. All right. Don't let go of the word. Beef up on your word. You can't ever have too much of the word. All right, that's going to do it.